I think Alan just kicked in and started the recording. So that's what that was. I didn't start it, so I'm glad you did, Alan. Like I said, the information always, you know, information. Let me back up and say this. We should always put ourselves in a position where information can come into our minds from Yah. And by doing so, you know, like I said, a lot of times we won't have a clue about about certain things, directions we should go in, and things like that. And Yah just give us information. Well, I was doing that today. I was just, in the Word and just studying and different things like that. And so as I was doing so, this information run across just to confirm what we have been or what we had covered for, heck, I don't know how long, y'all. I think it was about, year and a half, 2 years pretty much, somewhere along the line. I can't remember. We was in it so long whereby we dealt with the one world order. That's soon to come, that's coming to his head now in a lot of areas. And then we also talked about the one world religion. Well, what I'm about to share with you is some things that's really, I mean, something that I just thought would not happen from this organization. It just was something that totally blew my mind to come across the information on. But just to kind of give you, some understanding as far as the One World Order is concerned, it's basically a governmental system that will eventually, or I'll just back up and say this, there will be a One World government system that controls the world to a certain perspective. And there are certain things that we've gotten to understand as far as the Scripture is concerned where it may not completely control the whole world, but at least it's going to have an impact on the whole world for sure. Also, this religious system what we've come to understand to be Mystery Babylon deals with a religious system that will eventually unfold into a one-world religion. But long story short, Nation of Islam, as far as Farrakhan, that part of the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan had basically, in a nutshell, from what the article and then other comments that I've kind of, or videos that I've looked at, has basically said that they have joined themselves to the Church of Scientology. And it's just further confirms what we have been talking about the one real religious system. Now, who would have thought the Nation of Islam, being led by Minister Farrakhan, would submit itself to what's commonly understood as a Caucasian church that has interest in reaching more black people into their churches. So, from what I'm understanding at this point, it's like I think the thing was done for like $2.3 million or something like that. It was given, then also some incentives for Farrakhan doing this. And at the same time, he came across like there were some benefits to the Nation of Islam from them doing this. But then at the same time, I know he's been sick for a period of time, and I think had some real serious issues whereby it was kind of like a life and death circumstance. And so when you look at that top with the fact that this one world art and one world religious system, how it's going to be set up, just imagine yourself being in this position and you have an illness that can only be cured, so to speak, by the system by which you're preaching against. And and it can bring a man or any organization that doesn't totally depend on Yah down to humility and submission, in a heartbeat. And so I thought it was something that I could not have imagined would take place. And yet here we are in a circumstance where it actually has taken place. And so just to say, just to let you know that, you know, just for the confirmation that we are living in the last days, we are seeing the Bible being fulfilled, and to hear that information is something that's vital. It's vital information to confirm, again, what we've been discussing for a long time about the, you know, the one world religious system or the one world religion eventually, and at the same time, the one world order. And we also know that there are some things that's been going on from a perspective of Christianity and Islam, where they're basically bringing it together, calling it Chrislam. And so, so y'all, this stuff is coming down the pipe. It's happening, and it's going to continue to happen. And things are not going to get any better. That's why. I'm encouraging you to make sure that you be led by the Spirit of Yah, because in the days to come, and I'm saying days to come, not knowing exactly what day that is, it's just that I know that it's coming. The days to come, we will have to make a decision on who we're going to live for. We're going to have to make that decision, and that decision, depending upon how we're being led, could cost us our lives. And so it's vital that we understand it and know that we're living in the time frame that we're living in, and we're not in a position whereby we could just, you know, kind of be led according to the way that we feel like it's necessary for us to be led. We got to make sure we're being led by the Spirit of Yah in these last days. You know, because our lives very well could depend on it. Okay. Now, one other thing, I've been also looking at some information as far as the Masons are concerned, and one of the things that's, you know, very important for us to understand, even when you deal with Masons, just to kind of you know, give people a better understanding of that. You don't come into an understanding of what they're really about until you get to the 33rd degree of that Mason. You know, you have some people who are 32, you know, on down and things like that. And so people who are Masons and they have certain degrees below 33, they don't understand what they're, it's kind of like a graduation to let you know what you're really into. And so from the different degrees that's much lower than the 33 degrees, you don't become enlightened until you become the 33. And so you find a lot of people, especially Christians and things like that, that will say, well, I'm Mason and stuff like that, but there are things that's associated with that, again, to slowly lead you in the areas of a path that, you know, very few people realize that they're heading into, okay? And so I just wanted to let y'all know that before we move into the lesson on the day. But again, we were dealing with Rachel and Leah, and I wanted to, we're going to review just a little bit, and then we'll move forward, and then just kind of look at some things and confirm what we got an understanding on last week, and then we'll just continue to go forward. Now, we'll start in Genesis 29, Genesis 29, verse 16, and then we'll move through the rest of these verses, however Yah lead us to do so. Now, as we deal with this, again, it says in verse 16, it says, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. It said Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And when you look at the word, again, tender-eyed, especially in association with the word beautiful, then you think that the tender-eyed is implying that Leah was someone who, you know, like most scholars have explained it, as someone who is cross-eyed or has issues going on with her eyes or whatever. But when you break down the word tender and eyed, it shows that there's something else going on with Leah, and it reveals it from the perspective of the name, Leah's name. We'll look at Leah's name like we did on last week. We'll also look at Rachel's name, and we can see the issues going on with these two women. And so, again, the word or the name Leah actually means weary, because when you look at things, and what people really don't understand is that names mean something, and our nation understood it. Our nation understood that very well, and so we always name, most of the time at least, we always try to name the sons and daughters something that had to do with something positive, because in giving a person a name, you were actually speaking their destiny over that individual's life. And every time that individual heard that name, then how the Bible says faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah, obviously. And so when a person hear a name, then because they understood the meaning of those names. We don't understand meanings of names. Now, we're naming Pookie Ray Ray, all that kind of stuff. Now, it doesn't have significance associated with it. But as far as our nation is concerned, again, names always meant something. And so from that perspective, again, Leah meant weary. And so can you imagine a child being born and from day one they were called weary, and all you hearing every day is weary. And we have to understand how things work as far as the subconscious is concerned, because a lot of time we can hear something we can hear something consciously, so to speak, but then at the same time we can also hear something subconsciously. And I'll give you an example of this. I'm very careful about what I have playing as far as the television or the radio or whatever, music or whatever. I'm very careful about what I allow to be on when I lay down and go to sleep. And the reason why is because we have to understand that the brain never sleeps. And so since the brain never sleeps, that is part of the reason why we go into a dream state, because the brain is always awake, it's always thinking, so to speak, and that's why we have the dreams, and then we're using the brain all day, so the brain is always functioning. And so when the brain stops, what happens to the body is dead. I mean, the individual's dead. And so I'm very careful about what I allow, even as far as the television is concerned. And I learned this by, I'm not going to say by accident, I almost said it, but I didn't learn it by accident. I just believe it was another way. I'm going to change that even. I know it was another way that Yah was teaching me how things work. I remember I had left the television on, one night, and I used to always just put the television when we had cable at the time. I don't have cable anymore because I don't watch television. And so I had put it on some music, and it was just kind of just sitting around, just said, oh, I'm going to take a nap, but I just want to hear some music. And so I put it on this really kind of mellow music that had to do with water and things like that, and just had some pleasant sounds to it, and so I fell asleep. But I noticed in my dream that I started dreaming every song I was hearing. And so when the song would change and play, if water was running, I would see water running in the dream, but it was weird because it would be like I could see it running over steps and things like that, but I could actually see the water in the dream. Then it would change to something else if you could hear birds or something chirping in the song, that I could see the birds. Everything that was going on, everything I heard, and I was asleep. But everything that I heard in that song, I saw it. in my subconscious. And so when I woke up from that, I was like, wow, man. I said, you know, it shows how valid it is to make sure that we're careful about what we're listening to before we lay down or while we're you know, laying down and things like that, because it even happened to me as far as the last thing I watched before I lay down. You know, if all of us can think about it, it'd be things that you lay down, you watch a movie, you lay down, you dream that movie all night. There are things that will happen whereby if it get in your subconscious, if it get in your mind, your spirit, the mind, if it get in the mind, then you rehearse that information over and over. And if you're not careful, you become what you rehearse. You watch scary movies all the time. Before you know it, you lay down, you dream about it. And then before you know it, fear has entered in because there's been an entertainment of it in the subconscious realm, the inner man, the mind. And so with all the things that I've discussed to bring about understanding as far as Leah is concerned, imagine Leah hearing weary all her life. She's hearing weary all her life. On the other hand, Rachel, she's hearing something positive concerning her. Adam, what was that definition that you gave for Rachel? I can't remember what it was. You there, Adam? Hello?
It was a female, it was a female lamb.
Okay, a ewe, a female lamb. In other words, when you look at a female lamb, that's something very positive as far as our nation is concerned. And so for one woman to be called, one sister to be called weary, and the other one be called a female lamb, so to speak, something that's tender, delicate, you know, something that you would want to cull and hold and things like that. She's hearing that all her life. On the other hand, Leah is hearing weary all her life. Now, when you look at that, those two definitions of a name and they understanding the definition of those names, that molded the character of those two women. You had one who was tender, and from a perspective of it, it didn't matter how neither one of them looked. You know, you can find a lot of women that's beautiful on the outward appearance, but they're ugly on the inside. The mindset is messed up. There's some issues going on as far as the mind is concerned. And so, you know, you can be beautiful on one hand, but at the same time, if the mind is not being led by Yah, then that could be an ugly person. And so, when you look at it from that standpoint, it gives you an understanding of what's going on as far as verse 17 is concerned. Again, verse 16 said, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, weary, okay? And the name of the younger was Rachel, or lamb, tender lamb. Okay, now Leah, weary, was tender-eyed. Now, when you look at the word tender-eyed, as we dealt with it on last week, it means she was weak, faint-hearted. So the tender had nothing to do with her physical eyes. It had to do with her nature, her mentality, her character. So it said Leah was tender-eyed. Now, when you look at eyes, it could imply as far as the physical eyes is concerned, but when you look at the word tender associated with that, it lets you know that there's faint-hearted going on with the eye, or when you continue to bring down or understand the definition as far as eye is concerned, it could mean the eye, but at the same time, it could also mean her thinking. So when you look at the word tender and then you associate it with the word eye, it lets you know that she was weak-minded. She was faint-hearted. There was something based upon all the things she had heard all of her life that put her in a position now where her mindset was a certain way. And because her mindset was a certain way, it further exposes why she was why she ended up doing the things that she did, as we'll read on in these verses now. Verse 17, and Leah was faint-hearted. She was weak-minded. And Rachel was beautiful. You're looking at a tender. She hearing tender lamb all her life. And so that is something. what would happen if I was calling someone, you know, beautiful all their life, whether it was actually physically beautiful or not? It would program that individual's mind, and nobody could tell them they were ugly if all they heard they was beautiful all their life. And so you're hearing now Rachel being someone who is associated with a tender lamb, and so you seeing her nature now. So when you see beautiful in verse 17, it's not just focusing on her physical beauty, although both women were. Leah was a beautiful woman. Rachel was a beautiful woman also. But the character now is what Yah is going after in order to bring us about an understanding of the mindset of these women. Okay? Okay, now Rachel was beautiful. When you look at the word beautiful, it actually does mean beauty, comely, fair. It also says goodly. She was pleasant, well. So beautiful can go past the physical perspective, and it can be, you know, a good woman. A good woman can be considered beautiful. And it doesn't boil down to her physical appearance. On the other hand, a woman that's not so attractive as far as the physical appearance is concerned can be classified as a beautiful woman because she's a good woman. Okay? Now, when you look at verse 18, it says, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, the younger daughter. Now, when you look at the word love, it was from a perspective of a physical attraction. Quite sure she was a beautiful woman, but at the same time, when you look at her character, he liked all the qualities associated with Rachel. And so when you look at the word love, it was a physical attraction, but at the same time, it had a sexual connotation associated with it too. So it shows us from a perspective of love that it can be variations of love. A person can love somebody based upon just being attracted to them physically. They can love them from a perspective of it being a sexual thing, or they can love them from the perspective of Yahweh. There are no conditions associated with it whatsoever. And so when you look at it, and that's what Yah is. When it says Yah is love, it means there's no conditions. It doesn't matter. He says he just loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter how we are. He just loves us. And so in verse 18 it says, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve these 7 years for Rachel, the younger daughter. So he's like, I'm willing to work for her for 7 years. He loves her so much. Okay, the physical attraction. Okay, and then verse 19 says, Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had to her. For the love that he had to her. Now, verse 21 said, Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. In other words, I've completed my 7 years, that I may go into her. When you look at the word go into her, he's saying, based upon the word love that we define, he's saying that I may go into her. I couldn't wait. I waited 7 years. I want to go into her. I want to have intercourse with her. So I may go in unto her, and Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And that's when we started to expose the mindset of Leah from a perspective of, and I remember Mama Coates had brought up the perspective of, you know, her being submissive to the father, and I do agree with that to a certain perspective that, you know, you did have children who were more likely to be obedient to the parents, you know, at the time. But it also reveals or exposes Leah's mindset to go through with that. You know, it shows that, you know, you got to be a weak-minded person to let your father sneak you into a man. I figured he's probably drunk, you know. Our nation did drink wine, and you can read that through all scripture and things like that. So, you know, it has been a lot of stuff going on, you know, with Jacob, and it's you know, it was dark and things like that. And so, you know, I'm quite sure he's probably excited excited to be with Rachel. And I just, even as I'm thinking about this, it just brings me even to a better understanding that Leah wasn't an ugly woman, because I believe if she was, I think he would have known something was kind of going on, even though it was a little bit dark. I mean, you touch it on a woman, you can tell she ugly somewhere, you know. It's just common sense. And so, but it shows the mindset of Leah that she had to be weak-minded enough to even go through with the idea that Levin had, to be willing to go into a tent, so to speak, with a man that you know don't want you. You know, and that shows that it takes a weak-minded individual or a tender-eyed, based upon how the scripture describes it, it takes a weak-minded individual to be willing to do something that's not in their heart to do. And so when you look at things from that perspective, it just showed how weak-minded Leah was, you know, to confirm that it went in association with her name and things like that. And so it was just, it just further exposed that. Again, verse 23, and it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for an handmaid. Then it says, and it came to pass in the evening, verse 25 said, it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then thou hast beguiled me? Well, where did you deceive me, man? You know, how did you deceive me? You know, you betrayed me. And then Laban said, it must not be so. It must not be so done in our country. Keep skipping down. It must not be so in our country. Let me go back. My computer's rolling down on me. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, verse 26, and Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfilled her week, because they did a week celebration as far as the ceremony is concerned. Because when he went in unto her, he actually was married. So that's the way our nation back during the Bible days considered that to be a marriage. You know, it wasn't, you know, you standing there just going through vows and things like that. You gave the woman to the husband, and when he went unto her, based upon scripture, they were then married. And that's why he said, fulfill her week, as in the celebration of the marriage. Verse 27, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served with me yet 7 other years. He said, okay, fulfill Leah's week in the marriage celebration. Then after that week is over with, I'll give you Rachel, and you can have her to wife. And so he ended up marrying both sisters. He said, I'll give you her so you can marry her, but then you got to work for me another 7 years. Okay, verse 27 again, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, colon, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. As you see, the association as far as the wife is concerned is confirmed when they have intimacy, intercourse. And so verse 28, he has now Rachel, the wife also, but he still got to work the 7 other years. And so verse 29 said, Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. To be a maid, verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel. In other words, he had intercourse with Rachel also. So within a week time, he's with both sisters. Okay? He went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. So when you see it from the perspective of love, again, you look at the definition. It's not the Yah kind of love or the agape love. All of it can be Yah, but I'm showing you the highest level as far as Yah is concerned. And so when you look at the love, it was from a perspective of affection, okay? Sexually, so he was more sexually, more physically attracted to Rachel than he was Leah, okay? And it says again that he loved also Rachel more than Leah. And so,
question.
Yes, go ahead.
So could that be part of the reason why Leah went the way that she did? If we were to understand that Leah was a beautiful woman too, maybe she had it in her mind, okay, I'm just as beautiful as Rachel, but he don't want me the way he want her. So maybe that had something to do with her mindset in the trickery, in participating in the trickery as well.
I mean that very well could be the case. And even when you look at the law of that country, probably had an influence on her going through with it also. From the mere fact that, you know, it was their custom in that country to marry the oldest one off first. And so that could be a reason also for her participating with it. But also the underlying motive for that is you got to be a person who's tender-eyed to either way, like you're saying, her mindset to do it that way from a perspective of, you know, I guess what you're implying is she's kind of envious of a younger sister and be like, I'm going to go ahead and go through with this.
Right.
I mean, all those things could be playing along with the fact that she's weak-minded.
And the reason why I said it from that perspective is based on what happens later between them and the interaction that you see between them.
We're going there in chapter 30, but go ahead and kind of get ahead of us and say what you mean, because I know what you mean, but I want everybody else to understand what you mean.
So it's almost like, so later on you see them had an interaction where they vying for kids, et cetera, et cetera. They had an interaction about the mandrakes and stuff like that. It's like she trying to figure out a way to make herself be more enticing. Leah was trying to figure out a way to make herself more enticing, and then I guess when she started having kids or whatever, then Rachel was trying to do the same thing. But it's almost like it's not like it was just about looks is the best way I can put it. It's more to it than that.
Right, and that's a good point, and that's where we're headed, and we're gonna actually look at that too, son. So that's why I wanted you to go ahead and bring it up, because I wanted everybody to know what you were talking about, so that when we go into the next chapter and start looking at this, we'll all be on the same page from everything you just said. Okay, we ready? You good? Is that at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, again, verse 30 said, and he went. In also unto Rachel, and he loved her, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet seven other years. And when Jehovah saw, check this out, I found that very interesting. And when Jehovah saw that Leah was hated, now when you look at the word hated, it wasn't from the perspective of what we understand as far as hate is concerned, like he couldn't stand her from a perspective of, it was a comparison going on. And so you're looking at, on one hand, the love and the affection that he's having for Leah, but it's like he going through the motion, the love and affection he had for Rachel, you know, the intimacy and all that associated with that, but it's like he's going through the motion with Leah. And so when you look at it from that perspective, saying when Jehovah saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. So Leah was able to have kids and Rachel couldn't. Then it said Leah conceived, verse 32, bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. We won't deal with the name because I want to get into other chapters with the meaning of the name. All these names mean something. Okay? We'll see what the name means as we look at what she says. She called his name Reuben, For she said, surely Jehovah has looked upon my affliction. Now, when you look at that, that shows even more so what the tender eye is associated with. She named her first child Reuben, which means, surely Jehovah has looked upon my affliction. So every time you hear the name Reuben, it reminded her of what Yah had done for her concerning all the drama that she was dealing with from being named weary. She's like, okay, I'm being affliction. Now, I'm affliction. In other words, the word affliction means misery. It means oppression, trouble. So she's saying, surely Jehovah has looked upon me and given me a child. He's given me a child. He's looked upon all of the bad things that I've gone through all my life, and he's looked upon my trouble, my depression, my affliction, all these things associated with that, and he's given me a son, and I'm going to name him according to what Yah has done for me. Okay? Then verse 33 says, And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because Jehovah has heard that I was hated. Look at this. Because Jehovah has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me a son also. And she called his name Simeon. Simeon means, behold, Simeon means, Jehovah has heard that I was hated. That's what Simeon means. And so she names him. So all these names have meaning, and that's the way we were supposed to name our children. It's just that we lost our heritage and we didn't do that. But still there are some things divinely happened where, Yah still named some of us according to the purpose that he had ordained. My name, Lon, means first lion. And so it fits my nature for what I've been born to do. And so, again, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now, this time will my husband be joined unto me. We go on again, verse 34. She conceived again, his third son, and bare a son, and she said, now, this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, she called his name Levi. Okay, when you see Levi, she's showing the association as far as the name is concerned. Okay, now the time my husband will be joined unto me. Okay, and so that's what Levi is meaning. Then verse 35, because I want to get in the next chapter, we'll discuss what Alan had mentioned. The verse 35 says she conceived again and bare a son, and she called, and she said, now will I praise Jehovah. Therefore, she called his name Judah, and left bearing. That was she left off bearing at that particular time. And so, based upon, a lot of people will say that most of our nation that's here in the United States, we're from Judah. We're from Judah. So, Leah is actually our grandmother. All of us may not be from Judah, but all signs point to at least most of us from Judah. That's here in America, and so we come from this son Judah. It's the same son that Jesus come from. It's the same son that the kings come from. David, Solomon, all of them come from Judah, and also our Savior again comes from Judah. And so, as we move into the next chapter, chapter 30, verse 1, we'll start discussing the things that Alan had mentioned. Verse 1, Genesis 30, verse 1 said, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Now Rachel tripping. So you see this competition start, but yet you have Leah who is from her naming these sons, and you got to see the thing behind this. From her naming these sons, Rachel knows what these names mean. And so to go back and look at verse 34, and she's hearing this boy being called Levi, all the time she's hearing her saying, okay, my husband is joined to me. Rachel is hearing this. And so as you see Rachel hearing this, besides the other two names associated with the son that she's hearing and she's understanding the meaning of, you understand in verse 1 why she's envied now. She's envied her sister. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? So when you look at how things work as far as the womb is concerned, it is Yah who is the source by which the womb becomes fruitful. You know, bottom line, Yah gives life, and he's the only one can do that. And so it don't matter what interest we have. If you know, if y'all want the womb barren, it's going to be barren. If you want it to be fruitful, that's what it's going to be. Verse 3 says, she said, behold, my maid builds her. So look how crazy this gets now. Here you have two sisters now fighting because one has children and the other one don't. Rachel don't have children. Leah has three or four. Can't remember how many it was. And then you have, now Rachel is so envious behind this thing, she turns around and said, tell him, say, here my maid, build her. Verse 3. She said, behold, my maid, build her. Go in unto her. In other words, since I can't have no kids, then I'm going to give you my maid, and you sleep with my maid so that I can have kids. This is what is going on here. Verse 3 says, she said, behold, my maid, build her. Go in unto her, and she shall bear up on my knees. When you look at the word bear up on my knees, it just gives the understanding. Well, I'll just continue reading. Bear up on my knees that I may also have children by her. Because that was her maid, everything that was the maid was hers. And so here you looking at this incident happened in verse 4, I find fascinating. Verse 4 says, she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. Now you look at, he got three wives. Because the way that our custom worked back then, anytime you had intercourse with the woman, it was your wife. It became your wife. And so it says that she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, Yah has judged between me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Now you understand why all the judges came from Dan. Samson was a judge. So when you look at all the judges of Israel, most of them came from Dan. And so that's why you see that that mantle upon the son of Dan, and that's why you see him as he's being named. And so every time he heard his name, he heard a judge. And so all of his sons were judges from that perspective. And so when you look at that, even when you go back up and look at Levi, I'm gonna go back up because y'all just show. Let me just show you some things as far as Levi is concerned. To give us an understanding of this, and then we'll move right back to verse 4. Y'all just want to show you this. When you look at verse 34 of Genesis 29, it says, she conceived and bare a son, and she said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I bear him three sons. Therefore his name is called Levi. Levi means to be joined. And when you look at when our nation went into the wilderness, Levi was the one that was joined to Yah. It was the first one. Moses come from the tribe of Levi. And so when you look at that symbol that's up on the name, it was up on all the sons. So because they came from Levi, they were the ones that was quick to cleave to Yah. So in a nutshell, when all hell broke loose, so to speak, the sons of Levi was the one that stood up for Yah. When the children of Israel first rebelled with that golden calf in the wilderness. So you had the sons of Levi, the symbol of their name, cleaving to or joining to righteousness, to Yah, and that's why they were the priest that carried the mantle to do the work of the temple for our nation. And so you see all these things taking place to show that all these names meant something, and all the sons that were associated with that name operated within the mantle of that name. And so when you look at that and see how we lost our identity, and therefore you have a lot of people who don't understand who they are, but still there are some things going on with us that we don't understand why we do. Say, for instance, Judah means praise. Now you understand why so-called black folks in the church, they want to shout and run all over the church and stuff like that, because Judah means praise. And so they're doing that without the full knowledge of who they are, and don't understand why they want to jump and shout and run and praise Yah all the time during church service. They're operating in the mantle by which they were born. And so verse 4 again, back to Genesis 30, verse 4, it says, and she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, the wife, and Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, Yah has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Can you see the drama going on between these two sisters? And she called his name Naphtali. Wrestled, okay? And then verse 9 said, when Leah saw that she had left barren, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. Now here he got four wives now. Okay? He got four wives now. Gave her Jacob to wife, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. Gad being troop. Okay, notice all these names has meaning. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. Therefore she called his name Asher. Y'all see that? And so all the names has meaning and stuff like that. So we'll kill you. Asher means happy, okay? And so because of the time, I'm gonna read a few more verses, and then we'll stop. Okay.
I have a comment on that.
Go ahead.
So I think it's interesting that for these names even more so, because unlike any other names, these 12 names would be associated with us as a people in our tribes, you know, from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, any other person, they had their name, but it's like these names. So even when they had children, the name of whoever this father was of that tribe was still attributed to those children. I mean, even when you go beyond that, let's say the next level, let's say, for example, Dan's children, that next generation, those children didn't necessarily have their name associated with their father, but with Dan. So these names have even more significance to us as a people.
That's true. I mean, that's very true. And just to confirm what you said from a perspective of the name, even, and someone used myself that's in association with my destiny, what I've been called to do. Again, the name Lon means first lion. And when you look at our Savior, he's classified as the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why I know I come from the tribe of Judah, because my name is divinely associated with the lion that is the symbol of what Judah is. And so when you look at Yah, you know, using mom to divinely name me that, he knew that I was a carrier of the message that was going to bring us into an understanding of who we are as a nation of people, and therefore my name had to fit what he had called me to do. And he reached and gave me a name that went beyond my father's and all that. You know, here I am You know, they could have either named me after my father, but it was just, you know, they could have named me Tony, but it was divinely orchestrated by Yah to give me a name to fit my character for what I was born to do. I couldn't operate as a Tony to do what I've been born to do. I had to have the nature and to hear that name from the beginning of my birth to come to speak that in my ears and get in my heart, my subconscious, to develop my nature to be what I was born to be by Yah. So he had to give me a name to hear to manifest that nature and to manifest that leadership ability and that mindset. And so from me hearing that, it gave me a nature to always lead. So I was always the captain. I was always in a leadership position. No matter what we were doing, I was always classified as the leader of the group because Yah was divinely ordering my steps and putting the nature in me that was necessary to manifest what he had called me to do. And then at the same time, from the tribe that I come from, it just meshed with the tribe that I'm divinely destined to be a part of. And so, you know, that just confirmed, you know, what you said from that perspective about all these names meant something. And although we were named different things from losing our identity, it's going to come a day when all of us going to fall back within our tribes, and then we're going to understand the nature that we have and why we are the way that we are. And we'll operate in that nature at the highest degree once we come into the full knowledge of who we are. And so that is a good point. You had anything else? Verse 13 says, then we'll go ahead and get ready to stop. I'll read verse 14. Maybe 15, we'll stop, we'll see. I got to read some more to finish it. So verse 13 said, Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher, meaning happy. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. Mandrakes are basically aphrodisiacs. In other words, you know, there are certain, you know, substances and things like that that men can use. Watermelon is considered an aphrodisiac as far as men are concerned, blueberries and things like that. And so so when you look at that, he found these mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, thy son's mandrake. And she said unto her, it is a small matter that thou hast taken my husband. I thought that was unique for her to say that she's taken the husband, but yet she's the one that was deceptive. I just found that fascinating to say. And she said unto her, it is a small thing. You know, she's the one who laid with the man in secret. But she's telling Rachel, you think it's a small thing you took my husband?
That's what she said. It was her husband first. And she,
yeah, I know she's saying that, but you know, I just think it shows you her mindset, boy. You got to be, I don't know, it's just some strange stuff to say that. You know, you snuck in the room and did it, and you was his wife for a week before he got who he really wanted. It's just strange. Although it was true technically. She said unto her, it is a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrake also? And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrake. Oh, boy. In a nutshell, she said to her, you know, I'll let him lay with you if you give me some of those mandrakes. I believe that's what she's saying. Rachel's saying that, you know, if you give me the aphrodisiacs, the mandrakes, then you can have Jacob to be with you tonight, nutshell. But verse 16 says, Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrake. And he lay with her that night. And as you can see in verse 17, she conceived again. But I thought it was strange. I thought it was another funny thing when she's basically going to her own husband saying, Anushi, I've hired you for the night, boy. You know, I've hired you for the night. And since I've hired you, you know, you got to sleep with me tonight, so to speak. Verse 17, it said, Yah hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, Yah has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And it basically means reward, so hire, so to speak. And so what we'll do, we'll stop right there. And right now, anybody have any questions or comments before we go ahead and stop? Do you have anything else, or anybody else for that matter?
No.
Okay, it's 8 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and stop there. Father Yah, we just bless you for another facet of understanding your word. We ask you just to continue to lead and guide us in truth. And we thank you that you have your hand upon each one of us. Just continue sliding up on our minds so that we can understand your perfect will for all of our lives. We bless you in the name of your host, sure we do pray. Amen. Kumbaya, Maya. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Maya. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Maya. Kumbaya. Maya. Kumbaya. Y'all remember, worship God in spirit and in truth. You are dismissed.